Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Scotty, Happy New Year. How good is it? Dave and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. How good is it to have football back, brother?
It's always good, but it's three times as good this time. It just because of the uncertainty. You know, when we're sitting there in June and July, who knows what's going to end up happening. So, yeah, it was like Christmas morning this morning, I got to say.
Yeah, what really jersey was. Did you break out? What jersey, what hat? That's what we got to know. What do you have for opening day?
I don't have a Cam Newton jersey yet, I'll tell you that. I think I got to update the wardrobe now. I'm down to a Ben Watson jersey, a Teddy Bruschi jersey. I'm all throwback now.
Scotty, we'll get to the Patriots here in a little bit. Let's start locally here with the Jets. Their matchup up in Buffalo against the Bills. Double-digit wins are expected. What about the Jets offensively today? Any fantasy players that you think are worthy of a start?
You know, it's really tough with this matchup here. And you mentioned the winds, and I go to that stadium every year. And when the winds are blowing at like 15 miles an hour outside, it seems like it's 30 miles an hour inside. And that's not just because I'm stumbling to my seat. But, you know, I think when you take a look at this, Le'Veon Bell, I don't think you can just say flat out that he's a must-sit because, as always, it depends on what other options you have. So I would not sit Bell in favor of so many of these uncertain situations and committee approaches on, like, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers. But I do think you have to sit Bell if you have an option, say, like, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram, Raheem Mostert. But I do think with the wins, we could see a lot of short passing in the game. And certainly in PPR leagues, if you're looking at Bell and Jets are chasing points, and we saw this a couple of times last year where the Jets are down and they're going against prevent-type defenses, and Bell's getting a lot of dump-off passes, garbage time. I'm not saying this is going to be a complete blowout, but that's certainly a gameplay scenario here. So, yeah, I think it depends on the options. Bell is not a great start, but I wouldn't just go out and say, you know, definitely don't play him. I think when you look at the receivers, that's a bit tougher. Crowder's the only one I would consider, but I've got him outside the top 30 among my wide receiver rankings for week one. I know last year in the opener against the Bills, he had the 14 catches, but for 99 yards. And then in the season finale, the Bills weren't playing for anything, and he had a good game there, 8 catches, 66 yards. I'm not starting Crowder over guys like, say, Marquise Brown, T.Y. Hilton, but I think I would roll him out as a third wide receiver or flex in favor of, you know, maybe some unknown situations with rookies over Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, and guys like that. And Chris Herndon is somebody at the tight end spot that I do like down the road in the right matchups. This is just not the right matchup here. Only San Francisco allowed fewer yards to opposing tight ends than the 575 that Buffalo allowed to tight ends last season.
And what about on the other side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills? We know that there's some uncertainty on how they're going to split carries between Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Are there any other Bills that you think are worthy for their fantasy lineups?
Yeah, I think Josh Allen's right on the borderline, David. I've got him as my number 12 fantasy QB this week. I think most weeks he'll be a top 10 option, but the windy conditions and an inaccurate quarterback scare me enough to where I'd maybe opt for, say, a guy like Ben Roethlisberger over Allen if that was a choice I had to make. I do have Stephon Diggs outside the top 20, but inside the top 25 among fantasy wideouts. So I do think he's a guy who should be in more lineups than not. Chances are he's probably your third receiver this week. I could envision short passes, putting Diggs in catch and run situations. I think on the other hand, somebody like John Brown, who was phenomenal last year, but is more of a deep threat in the wind, is somebody who should be on fantasy benches for week one. You know, you mentioned the running back situation. It seems like it's a matchup here that could be better for the rookie Zach Moss. I know early in the show, Katie mentioned the prop bet of 14-1 on him scoring the first touchdown. I think there's some wisdom to that. You know, you look at the Jets being without Mosley, who opted out for the season. And I think the Bills could look at this as an opportunity for their offensive line to be physical up the middle, and that suits Moss more than Singletary. So I think both of them are risky starts. If I had to start one of them, I would actually go with the rookie Moss because of Buffalo maybe seeing an opportunity to overpower smaller Jets front seven.
We're talking to Scotty Grambling, all your fantasy football advice for you here on this opening Sunday of the NFL season, editor-in-chief, draftengine.com. You mentioned one of the rookie running backs, Zach Moss. There's a lot of them around the National Football League. Cam Akers out in Los Angeles with the Rams, J.K. Dobbins with the Baltimore Ravens. David and I touched upon that as they get set to take on the Cleveland Browns. How about if you're a fantasy owner, what do you make of these roles early on for rookie running backs across the National Football League, Scotty?
Yeah, you know, Moose, this was the toughest part for me about not having a preseason, because usually you get to see in the preseason what the pecking order is going to be, who's getting more reps with the first team. I know we have beat reporters that are covering training camps and we're giving you some insight, but it's not the same as getting to see that in the preseason. I just think there's a lot of uncertainty when you talk about Cam Akers in week one with Malcolm Brown there, and now Daryl Henderson is going to be healthy. So there's three guys, McVay saying he's going to rotate the guys. I just think in week one, Akers is a bit too risky. It's kind of the same thing with DeAndre Swift. They brought in Adrian Peterson. They have Kerryon Johnson. To me, Akers and Swift are guys who are best left on benches in week one fantasy. The hardest call to me is the Colts' Jonathan Taylor. I would lean towards starting Taylor this week. And the reason is you could see a scenario where midway through the third quarter, the Colts are up enough in this game that they're going to run the football. I could see a scenario where both Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor, even if they split carries, could each end up getting 13, 14 carries and could end up producing with those kind of carries. So I think it's a tough call with Taylor, but oftentimes, preseason or no preseason, all the coach speak in training camp is about how these rookies have to earn their job, how they have to knock off the incumbent. It rarely plays out that way. If these teams are spending second round picks on these running backs, they intend to use them. So I think in time, these guys like Akers and Swift and certainly Taylor are going to ascend. But with week one, it's just a little too risky, especially when you start talking about things like blitz pickup and lack of continuity with offensive line. I think that Taylor's the guy I would go with, and I would shy away from Akers and Swift this week.
You know, the New York Giants are facing and have a tough task up against the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. We know the Steelers' defense is coming in as the top team with takeaways and sacks from the 2019 season. Outside of the obvious Saquon Barkley, what other Giants players on offense do you think are worthy for fantasy consideration?
Yeah, I don't think there's many, David. Very tough matchup, as you mentioned. Steelers defense ranked third against the pass in 2019. I've got Daniel Jones outside this week's top 20 fantasy quarterbacks, and I've got no Giants wideout inside the top 40. If I were in a position where I had to play a Giants receiver, it would be Sterling Shepard. I don't really foresee another week down the road where I've got both Daniel Jones outside the top 20 and all the wideouts outside the top 40, but I just think it's that tough of a matchup. Evan Engram is really the one you have to consider just because of the lack of depth at the tight end position. But again, the Steelers gave up the fourth fewest yards to opposing tight ends last season. So I'd say if you have an option, say like Denver's Noah Fant, Detroit's T.J. Hockenson, I would go in that direction over Engram. Denver hosts Tennessee, Detroit hosts Chicago. Both the Titans and Bears were among 10 teams that allowed an average of more than 55 yards per game to opposing tight ends last season. But unless you have one of those better options, I wouldn't start going down outside the top 15, 18 fantasy tight ends this week to replace Engram. I think there's still a decent shot that Engram gets some production. I just think he has a low ceiling for week one when you look at what the Steelers' defense does against opposing tight ends.
All right, Scotty, I mean, you hate it when you're a fantasy owner, but you've got a person that is an impact wide receiver, questionable, dealing with a shoulder injury. I'm talking about Broncos wideout Courtland Sutton. So if you're a Sutton owner here, where it could be a game-time decision tomorrow night, they play the second game of the doubleheader, what do? Do you roll the dice, or do you replace them in that lineup?
You have to replace the Moose. And, you know, in these situations, I sometimes like to pick up some insurance, but there just is no insurance to be had. And when I say that, I mean, you know, somebody else in that game. So let's look at the Titans, for instance. A.J. Brown isn't somebody you're going to pick up because he's on fantasy rosters. Corey Davis is questionable for that game, so you can't use him as a fallback. Next up is Adam Humphries. To me, you're going to have somebody better than Adam Humphries on your fantasy bench to fill in for Courtland Sutton. So it's just too much of a risk. It's the same thing on the Broncos side of the ball. The rookie Hamler is somebody who's questionable. You look at Jerry Jeudy is going to be on fantasy rosters. You can't pick him up. And then you're just down to guys like Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton. Those are not guys you want to pick up. So, you know, hopefully you ended up fortifying your roster with at least enough depth that although you won't get Courtland Sutton type production, you also won't get bottom of the barrel, you know, that dreaded two catch, 19 yards, no touchdown type output for somebody that rolls in there. But you can't risk getting a zero out of Courtland Sutton. I would say at this point, he's probably on the wrong side of questionable.
What about the Philadelphia Eagles with Eagles running back Miles Sanders sidelined for the opener today in Washington? Is Boston Scott someone who should be in fantasy lineups today?
Well, you know, if they were playing the Giants, I would say Boston Scott would have a chance to be week one fantasy MVP. Or remember what he did last year, right? Yeah. I mean, gosh, 266 yards from scrimmage, four touchdowns over two wins against the Giants last December. I think Washington's defense is going to be strong this season, but I think when you look at the combination of Philly's strong offensive line, the effective play calling, and the fact that Scott did prove last December that he could play at this level, I think he's a pretty rock-solid RB2 today. So I've got him outside the top 10 in my week one fantasy running back rankings, but I've got him inside the top 15. I think he's somebody that you roll with and roll with relative confidence.
All right, with Washington, Antonio Gibson is a rookie that has impressed. Is he a guy that you're rolling out starting against the Eagles this afternoon?
You know, Moose, I kind of put him in with Swift and with Akers. I do think it's a little more clear that Gibson is going to be the bell cow, if there is a bell cow coming out of the Washington backfield. And I do like him in the right matchups early in the season. I don't think this is a great matchup. You look at the Eagles, they ranked third in the NFL against the run last season. I think for me, Gibson might get the volume. You might see him getting 14, 15 touches. But I think because of the matchup, you likely have better options for week one. But certainly he's somebody that's going to be intriguing to watch over the first couple of weeks. And he's the type of guy you often see on fantasy championship teams because he's somebody you're able to sneak in the 14th, 15th round of drafts and ends up ascending as, you know, a top 20 fantasy running back. I think he certainly has an opportunity to emerge as a top 20 fantasy running back, even for an offense that you would think would probably be in the bottom 10 of the league.
You know, Scotty, I said today that this is truly probably the first time in a very long time that I've been excited to watch the Cincinnati Bengals and see what their offense looks like. And with that said, you know, what can we expect out of the Bengals offense with the season opener today? So much uncertainty with Joe Burrow with no preseason. What do you think you're going to get, and what's the look of this Bengals offense going to be?
Yeah, to me, I just think it's going to be a lot of mixing. And I think when you look at the strides the Bengals offensive line made late last season and how good Mixon was over the second half of the season because of that offensive line, to me, that's going to be the approach. Now, they're not going to be, you know, all ground and pound, but I think when you're talking about week one, you're talking about no preseason and a rookie quarterback, to me, obviously, most fantasy leagues only starting one quarterback, you're not going to need to start Burrow this week, so you can take a wait-and-see approach. And, you know, with the receivers, I'm taking the wait-and-see approach there as well. I don't have either A.J. Green or Tyler Boyd inside my top 30 among fantasy wideouts this week. It's just unclear which of those two guys is going to emerge as Burrow's favorite target. I think it's Mixon in fantasy lineups, and I think the rest of the guys are best suited on benches. But I do think that there are going to be weeks, especially once the bye weeks start coming in week five, where Burrow's going to be worthy of consideration. And if he can stay healthy, A.J. Green and certainly Tyler Boyd.
Scotty, of the big-name players we know in fantasy this week, is there one that you're shying away from when you're looking at daily fantasy? Is there a couple picks that you look at guys and you say, I just don't think they're going to have a particularly good week? Not necessarily that they're not going to have a good year, but are there any stayaways from you, fantasy perspective, when you're looking at daily fantasy?
Yeah, you know, David alluded to it quickly about Jalen Ramsey, Amari Cooper matchup. And traditionally, Amari Cooper has struggled when going against elite cornerbacks. And I think when you look at how many options the Cowboys have, they can afford to stay away from Jalen Ramsey and kind of play at 10-on-10. So I'm signed away from Amari Cooper. I really think he has a lot of bust potential because the Cowboys don't have to force the ball to him. When you look at guys like CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and they obviously have a running game. And I also think Blake Jarwin, maybe not this week, but certainly down the road, is going to emerge as a viable fantasy tight end. I'm staying away from Aaron Rodgers. I know the Vikings have revamped their secondary, but Mike Zimmer, I just have so much respect for as a defensive-minded head coach that, you know, he's had Rodgers' number for the most part over the last couple of seasons. You look at the moves that the Packers made in the offseason. It was more toward fortifying the running game than the passing game. So I'm also staying away from Rodgers. And I'd be a little iffy on Odell Beckham. I'm not benching him in standard fantasy leagues, but he's not somebody I'm playing in daily fantasy. I just think that the Browns, if they're going to end up winning this game against the Ravens, it's going to be controlling the ball. It's going to be 36 minutes of possession time on offense, keep it out of Jackson's hands. And they have the ability to do that, at least on paper, with the combination of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So I don't see this being an explosive Odell Beckham week against a pretty tough Ravens defense, and when you consider a game plan that Stefanski might be putting in there to keep the ball out of the Ravens offense's hands.
And Scotty, sleeper, Scotty.
Yeah.
My favorite sleeper is Anthony Miller, the Bears wide receiver. I mean, Detroit selected Jeff Okuda third overall as a replacement for Darius Slay. Okuda is expected to be out today with a hamstring injury. That would likely put Desmond Trufant as the top corner on Allen Robinson. That leaves Miller in a matchup with a backup cornerback. I love that. I think DJ Chark for the Jaguars. I could see the Jaguars chasing points late in the game here, and Shark emerged last year as the top target. He had 8 catches, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 15 targets against the Colts last year. And at tight end, I love Atlanta's Hayden Hurst as a sleeper today against Seattle defense that allowed more yards to opposing tight ends last season than any team except Arizona. I know the Seahawks improved the secondary with the acquisition of Jamal Adams, but I think Adams will be more focused on helping Seattle's cornerback stop Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the outside. That could open up space in the middle for Hurst underneath. And frankly, I think Hurst is more talented, at least from an athletic standpoint, than Austin Hooper, who put up good fantasy numbers last year in this Atlanta offense.
And for those that don't know, Scotty is a tremendous survivor pool player as well. So, Scotty, this week, are you rolling with the Colts like everybody else?
You know, I am rolling with the Colts, and my theory on all this, you know, new normal stuff is that home field just isn't going to mean a heck of a lot. So normally in survivor pools, I really hate taking road teams. I just don't think home road means as much for obvious reasons without the fans there. I am taking the Colts. I could see the Jaguars this year being similar to what the Dolphins were last year, get off to a very slow start and then improve as the season goes on. I think there's some young talent there. But I think it's too much to ask week one. So I am rolling with the Colts. And also, the Colts really aren't a team that you're going to consider very often later in the season. So I'd rather hold on to a team like the Ravens, where I'm going to use them later on in the year, and roll with the Colts here against the Jaguars.
Scotty Grambling, editor-in-chief, Draft Engine Fantasy Football Magazine, draftengine.com. Scotty, good luck today. Enjoy the football return of the NFL. First NFL Sunday, and we'll chat with you next week, all right?
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great one.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.